I got a scoop for you, John, as we break into 100% hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Fire away.
Mitch Marner skated for the first time in Vegas yesterday.
Were you on the ice with him?
I was on the ice with him.
And how many times did he beat you?
That's not important, John. The news is Mitch Marner in Vegas colors on the ice with his teammates, the captain skate. So that's moving it along.
But the bottom line is, like, you're still hoping for that PTO.
No. The news is Marner skated. Don't water it down.
I mean, this is the most important thing in your life, this playing goal National Leaguers.
I do enjoy it more than anything. But he made a backhand sauce pass during a little informal scrimmage, and everybody went, ooh, that was good.
Even on the rush. Teammates?
Oh, yeah. It was like, oh, that was good. You don't see that from everybody.
But, I mean, how many times did he beat you?
It's not important, John. It's the important thing is, from a Vegas Golden Knights standpoint, is he's feeling confident.
Did he skate up to you and say, you know, I used to love you when I watching you when I was a kid too? Did he say that?
No, he didn't. But I'm waiting for that one too. I love it when guys. I grew up watching you.
Oh,
like, really? Oh, there was one kid. He did like a Q&A with our social media team, and the question was, what year would you be born in to be considered old?
Oh, and what was the answer?
It was my year.
Oh.
So I gave him grief about that.
So you're old.
I'm officially old. But captain skates happening all over the National Hockey League, and now when players doing informal interviews, saw Evander Kane talking about being back in Vancouver. Mitch Marner skating Vegas. Austin Matthews. And Connor McDavid doing their thing. We're starting to get a little more news coming out of the league.
But I guess what we're going to see now is the rookie tournament starting soon, rookie camp starting soon before the big camp start in the middle of the month for the big clubs.
Yeah, we're off to Denver next week for rookie camp. A little three-team tilt.
So Golden Knights...
Utah and Colorado.
We can call them the Mammoth now.
Yeah. And did you see the Seattle Kraken with their glow-in-the-dark sweaters?
Yeah, I like it.
Vegas did that a couple of years ago. It was neat.
Well, and Dallas has had a glow-in-the-dark one. And
for a long time.
And Edmonton has had one as well.
We'll say this. We play with the lights on. So it's
but here's what's going to happen now, and it'll drive television nuts: is that they're going to try to have the guys skate out when it's dark.
Yeah, the tunnel is always dark when they walk out, and you can see it.
We used to have rules in this league about when lights went on, just for safety purposes. Period. The lights should be up full when a skate hits the ice for safety.
I was watching a football game the other day, and they scored a touchdown. The lights went out.
I know.
And the spotlight came on. I'm like, what is going on with that?
Must be college football.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was good. John, we've got Doug McLean standing by.
Why?
What's the most important thing on your mind when it comes to Doug?
Well, I might ask him if we have time, because I know we won't have time in the end, is what's his favorite wine right now?
The one that's being poured.
And I mean W-I-N-E, not W-H-I-N-E, which he's very good at as well.
He is good at it.
Yeah.
I'm curious about his playoff of the Craig Leopold comments, which hinted at a record-setting contract on the way for Kirill Kaprizov.
Well, it's... to me, it's when you look at McDavid, Kaprizov, Eichel, and I got asked this a lot, does it matter who signs first? And, you know, everybody seems to be pointing the finger saying we're waiting for Connor to sign. But maybe that makes sense.
Set the bar and then everybody else follow through. But Kaprizov could reset the bar in a way.
Well, but Minnesota, let's face it, Minnesota has a lot more money to play with when you think of the $95 million cap, because they're
available. Yeah,
Billy Guerin has finally from under the shackles of the Parise and Ryan Suter contracts. By the way, did you see that Zach Parise is going to be one of the people inducted in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Joe Pavelski as well.
Joe Pavelski, Scott Gomez, and amongst other people, the great Bruce Bennett, who is, for my mind, has been viewed for 50 years as the greatest hockey photographer, has been at every event, to the point where I think that...
Recognizable.
He's very recognizable, even by fans.
Yeah.
On the ice, the amount of pictures that Bruce has taken. Bruce is, in his 50th year, is finally getting some great recognition as the ultimate hockey photographer.
Great snapshot of the USA Hockey Hall of Fame induction that's going to take place. So we'll get to Doug McLean next on 100% Hockey. This will be fun because he'll have some kind of beef with John Shannon. Stay with us.
There's always a beef.
Well, he's an author. He's a former coach, a former general manager, president, now real estate mogul, and now he's hanging out in Prince Edward Island. Here's Doug McLean on 100% Hockey. I'll just leave it for you for now, and then I'll start to asking you questions in about half an hour.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to spend, some time with you.
Happy anniversary. You know, 48 years.
You know, I really appreciate that. And, 48 years, it's been a grind, you know. I mean, I've had to really...
We're talking about your wedding anniversary.
Work at it, you know. And as I said to Jill the morning after our 48th anniversary, I said, you know, I think this is going to be a great year. I think this is going to be the coming out year for us as a relationship.
So, like, would Jill describe it as a grind?
Jill would describe it that half it, I was away 14 nights a month or 18 nights a month, and it really made it tolerable.
So really, you've only been married 24 years.
Exactly.
What do you have left to work on in year 49?
I just think I have to be more attuned to, you know, being there in the moment. You know, I have to be better at being there in the moment, you know, and I just think I have to learn to listen better, which I'm really working on. I mean, there's some goals there that I think are attainable, you know. Listening skills I've really improved on.
This could be the third book. Doug McLean's Guide to Marriage.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd buy Jill's book.
It'll be out just in time for 50, so it'd be fantastic.
Yep. You know, so it's been a nice, as she said to somebody the other night when I walked into high school in Brockville, Ontario, and she said, oh, great, another one of those dumb hockey players coming to our school. And it really took off from there, the relationship.
Yeah, that was the high watermark. I want to get your comments on something that Craig Leopold said, the owner of the Minnesota Wild. And this sort of bleeds into Connor McDavid in a way, but Kaprizov has to sign. He's available to sign.
He doesn't have to sign.
No, but he's available to sign. Yeah. And Leopold said it's going to be a huge deal, likely the biggest in NHL history. If you're the general manager, what are you thinking when your owner comes out and says that?
I'm thrilled because he's not going to be knocking me when I pay him way too much money, you know, for what he's probably worth. Although we all know he's a great, great young player. I would be relieved if I was a GM because, you know, there's no, you know, Leopold's doing the negotiations and Leopold's a smart guy and he doesn't want to lose him. And you know what I really learned recently is that the big contracts are the easiest ones to do because the minute they say they will sign, there's excitement from the organization and they just sign it. You know, I read about Tree Living, you know, when he flew out to Phoenix to sign Matthews and how it was an easy contract to get done because as soon as the other side make a statement as to what they will sign for, it's good, sign, let's go, done. Limited negotiations. The other thing is with the lesser players on the team, negotiations have become a lot easier because the agents realize how much money there is there to spend because of the cap. So it makes it a little easier for the lesser guys. You say, hey, you guys, you agents, you guys see where I am. You know where I am on the cap. You know how much money there is here. And it seems that there's less negotiation going on.
But, I mean, all this extra money allegedly on the cap, because the teams can actually put their own cap in place if they want. Right. Isn't it all been spent by the guys at the top end?
Yeah, that's my point I'm making, that the lesser guys are slotted in there because there's not, you know, they see what's left over. And agents have told me that, and GMs have told me that recently, that the negotiations are a little bit easier. I shouldn't say easier, but different. That, okay, we as agents have a feel for what's available. The GM obviously knows what's available. Everybody knows what's available. I mean, everybody in their living room that follows the cap knows what's available because it's become the hottest topic. All you ever read now is where people are on the cap. That's the biggest hockey news now, is where it is on the cap. And it's really, instead of talking about their lineup as much, it's all cap talk. And I can't say I enjoy it. I really can't say I do.
What kind of number do you think Kaprizov comes in at, given what Leopold said? And could he be the highest paid player just on the need to keep him in the organization?
You know what? I think he's going to come in the probably, what, $16 million range? Is that what it's going to be? I mean, I think that's sort of what it looks like. And how can he be the highest paid guy with McDavid out there? With what both organizations are facing, I've got to believe McDavid's going to come in higher than him. I've got to believe that. Now, we know what kind
logic
of
logic says that, unless Minnesota just says, we're going to blow everybody out of the water and keep Kaprizov for eight.
Well, let's be honest. Minnesota has a ton more cap space.
Yeah, and also we know what kind of guy McDavid is, you know, and is he driven by money? He left money on the table last time. Is he going to do it this time to make it work because he wants to? We know how driven he is to win, McDavid. He's got that Sidney Crosby drive in him, in my opinion. I don't know McDavid like you guys do. You know, I met him when he was playing in juniors. I coached him in the prospect game, and I said hello to him. That's how well I know him. So, you know, I mean, but what I hear about him, he's a driven guy. So is he going to be more team-oriented? Probably. That's what I think of him. Kaprizov, he's a heck of a talent, and he's a monumental part of their franchise. I'm pleased about Leopold's comments.
Does it matter who signs first?
I don't think so. I really don't. You know, they're 1-2 in the league right now.
Well, you better put Jack Eichel in that list too, right?
Well, Jack Eichel's not in the same category for me.
Not really.
I think he's a great player. I think he's a great player. I think he's had an amazing career. He's won. He's proven a lot of people wrong after his start in Buffalo, and I have a lot of respect for him. I don't have him in the same category, but he's a superstar.
From two-way player and center iceman and value to your organization, I don't think he gets the same attention because the assumption is how happy he is in Vegas.
Doesn't it already speak to the depth of the Golden Knights? I mean, there are, you know, when you talk about the Oilers, you do talk about Leon and Connor and the money that they suck up. But there's a lot more high-end guys, I think, in Vegas overall on the depth chart than there is in Edmonton, don't you?
Well, I mean, there is, except Edmonton looked like a better team at times, you know. You know, it flip-flops. One team looks better one year, the next team looks a little better the next time. I don't know, you know, based on playoff. But, I mean, they're both really good teams because they've won. you know, they're both very good teams. And you have a lot of respect for both organizations for what they've accomplished. I mean, getting to the finals is not an easy thing. Winning a Stanley Cup, we know in your fifth year as a franchise, we know what that tells you. That tells you that it's a great organization and a well-run organization. But the Oilers, you know, this is, you know, for Minnesota and the Oilers, this is an unbelievable pressure situation on both organizations, because you cannot lose either player. You can't lose either player. It would be devastating. And I wanted to bring this up. I'll never forget. I was at the cottage here and I heard that the lockout was over and the new CBA was done. And I was told that players are going to be unrestricted free agents at seven years service in the NHL.
What year was this?
That was after the 05 lockout, 04, 05 seat. And I phoned Gary and I was here at the cottage and I phoned him. I said, Gary, please tell me that's not true. Please tell me that we're not going to have unrestricted free agents at 7 years, because I had Nash, you know, and had to buy years of free agency to get him signed. And he said, yep, that's the deal. And here's the situation. We, the league, will protect you for 7 years. After that, you're on your own. Well, I wasn't very happy to hear about it. And obviously, you have to give up something to get a cap. And that's part of the deal. And I'll tell you what, it's caused a lot of sleepless nights for general managers since that deal was signed. Because all you ever hear about is how many years to unrestricted free agency, how many years till you can negotiate a year before he's going to be unrestricted. We've heard it with Marner. We've heard it with Matthews. We've heard it with Nylander. We've heard it with Kaprizov now, McDavid, every superstar in the league. That's where we are now. And you can't afford, what franchise can afford to lose a guy that's only played in the league for 7 years? Mm. They're in their prime and they're walking if they want to.
Connor McDavid, at what point does it become a distraction in Edmonton as we're on the verge of training camp?
48 hours ago. Hmm. It's
a distraction for whom? But a distraction for whom, Doug?
Well, I think it's going to be a distraction for everybody that's an Oiler fan, number one, and for management and for McDavid. It's going to be, and for teammates to a degree. I mean, look, the one thing, though, is typically these superstars have a ton of respect in the dressing room, a ton of respect in the dressing room, you know, and Sidney's a guy that, to me, is what that's all about. And I certainly think some of these young guys have followed the way he's acted. Now, I don't mean by giving the organization a home run, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what shakes out. But I think it's a distraction. I know if I'm Stan Bowman and Jeff Jackson, I'm distracted. That's the only thing on my mind right now, you know. And you look at the Oilers, all Connor talks about is winning. Today he mentioned family security. I guess that could be described as security for his family financially or security like Marner talked about. I would hope it's not about that. I would hope that that doesn't start becoming an issue in the league. But hey, they're superstars and they're big, high profile guys. And it bothered me, the Marner conversation about that. I mean, I never had to deal with that. I had to deal with some problem distractions by, you know, organized crime in the city and dealing with players getting involved. I had some of that to deal with, but I certainly didn't have to deal with, you know, security of the players. And that's a new wrinkle that's jumped out in the last 48 hours that I never really thought about.
It's funny because when you talk about, if you do talk about security and you talk about Marner, you do talk about McDavid, those guys play in Canada.
Yeah.
Is it different in Canada than the United States?
It's like night and day, you know. It's like going to watch game seven in Florida with the Boston Bruins playing the Florida Panthers two Stanley Cups ago. Mm-hmm. Watching game seven in the Hampton Social in Delray, Jill and I went there to have dinner to watch the game. And every time the Panthers would score, nobody in the building even noticed. And this was a big series in that Stanley Cup run. That was a huge series from a 3-1 deficit to winning and moving on. And that tells you everything you need to know. I tell you guys the story all the time. When Clark and I went in a restaurant and I said, could you put the Panther game on? That's after I'd stopped, finished coaching. They said, I'm sorry, we don't have the NFL package here. I said, no, I'm talking about the NHL team, the Panthers. So,
But the flip side of that is people being so involved and just absolutely fandom running wild in Canada. Is that where it works to a disadvantage?
Well, it's certainly, I'd hate to ever think that players, I was listening to Lawton the other day commenting on how it's always been a dream to play for the Leafs. He's a Toronto kid. I would hope that it isn't, but we know it's a lot different playing in Canada than it is playing in other cities. Take Marner, for instance, everybody's ripping him. He's going to go to Vegas and he can go anywhere he wants for the most part, except into the team store. Probably people would recognize him in there if he's wearing his jersey. I think it's really different. And I think players at certain points of their career like that and appreciate that,
It's funny, I think the selling point, all you have to do is watch a playoff game in any Canadian city and the crowd response to say, if you're a player, don't you want to play in front of that? Don't you want to be part of that rabid fan base?
But you do, but look, in Florida, 20 years ago was a wild fan base in the playoffs. And in Vegas, it's been wild in the playoffs. And I know it's generally in the building, but Florida has shown right now what they've done the last 3 years there from two Stanley Cups in a final that it's become pretty exciting. And yeah, it's not Canada, I agree. And, I don't know. Like, I mean, why is Tkachuk in Florida? Why did he go there from Calgary? Why did Johnny Gaudreau go to Columbus? Why do superstar free agents leave, and go to small, different markets? Sometimes they want a break. I don't know.
Tkachuk and Gaudreau, I'll chalk up American guys wanting to play in the States.
Marner
is a little different.
And Tkachuk wanted to go play after being sold on playing in Florida by his pal Sam Bennett. Yeah. Sam Bennett was a big part of that subtle recruiting of Matthew Tkachuk to go play in Sunrise.
Yeah.
So you're not worried, Doug, at all about McDavid? Like, I know we said a distraction 40 hours ago, but where are you on your level of concern
as to whether he leaves or not, or the distraction,
or whether he signs?
Yeah, I would be concerned about it, but I would put money on it, not very much, but I would put money on it that he will sign in Edmonton. I think he's pretty happy there. I think he's content. I think the Jeff Jackson factor may play a part of it. I think Draisaitl will play a part of it. I think Bouchard plays will play a part of it. I think he feels to prove. I think he hasn't signed. He has something to prove.
He hasn't signed. It's a story. But really, none of us, big picture, think that he's going anywhere, right?
I would agree with that. And I wouldn't put a lot of money on it, but I'd put money. I'm not a gambling guy. You saw that when I visited you in Vegas. I don't spend a lot of money gambling,
Really, the question in my mind is term, isn't it? It's for how long will he go?
Yeah.
And when we hear about I want to win, and you talk
three or
about
four years.
You talk about guys in their prime, If Connor signs for 3 or 4 years, he's still 31, 32 years old, still in his prime.
Yeah.
And if it has gone south in Edmonton, then he reevaluates, correct?
Yeah. And you know what? I guess it's really, yeah, I have a hard time. I mean, Nick and I disagree on this lots, leaving money on the table. You know what? I mean, how much is how much? You know what I mean? Like, if he signs for 4 years at 16, 17 million and he leaves a few, he doesn't get the max in the next one, it's probably not the end of the world, you know? But I haven't run into too many players in my time around the NHL or in the NHL that guys have left a lot of money on the table, you know?
You don't think Sid left money on the table?
Sid definitely has, but Sid.
Yeah. Sid's left lots of money on the table.
Yeah.
When you think $8.7 million.
Yeah, and he's taken a lot off the table.
Yeah.
Take a break. We'll come back with more with Doug McLean on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. What's your weather like over there on PEI?
You know what? It's been a little windy at times, but it's been a great summer. I've been in the water more this summer. You know, I would say to you swimming, but Jill would say floating would be a better description.
That's not a bad thing.
I've been in the water a lot. I've played a lot of golf. It's been you and I got out and played a little bit, and Shani and I got out and played a little bit. I've had a great summer. It's been great. And, you know, we're here till late October, which really is nice. You don't panic, you know, and we're busy. We're busy doing lots of stuff in real estate. So I've had a good summer.
So you're not in hockey mode yet. You're not thinking about hockey, are you?
Well, I've been working on the new book a lot. I've spent a fair amount of time this summer interviewing people for the book and doing a fair amount on that. And we've got to have it done by December 15th, the manuscript. So it's been a busy time, and I've kind of enjoyed it because I've had some great conversations with a lot of great hockey people. So I've enjoyed that. So I'm really, you know, it's been a good summer, not that busy, but busy enough that I can, you know, Jill sent me an article just a few minutes before I come on. It said the damage a milkshake can do to you. And I'm at the age now that I'm reading all the articles about trying to be healthy. And so I sent her back a note. Milkshakes, what about what wine does to me? Are we worried about that?
When was the last time you had a milkshake?
Yesterday.
I don't know why she said it. It was probably two summers ago I had a milkshake. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know the last time I had a bottle of wine.
How would you arrive for the team plane without a dress code?
Oh.
This is driving me. This one drives me nuts. It really does. I don't get that. But I guess it's the PA trying to take something back. By the way, I had a great conversation with Ron Ainsey a couple of weeks ago. Really, I really enjoyed the conversation. I claimed Ron Ainsey on waivers in Columbus from Montreal, and he really, I really enjoyed him as a player and enjoyed watching how his career took off and watching him, you know, the job he's done at the PA, and I really enjoyed it. But I got to believe it's just wanting to take something back to tick off the owners. It's got to be that, because the players, like, I see the way they dress now, and I absolutely love it. You know, I love the suit look. I love the shoe look. I love everything about how they dress, you know, and I think they take a lot of pride in it. So I'll be anxious to see. Now, we always have scruffs on our team too that you got to be a little concerned about, you know?
You mean the guy you go on a 7-game road trip and he only has one suit?
Well, I remember I had a guy in St. Louis, and it was early in my career, that he would go on the road with a toothbrush. And I used to say to him, like, seriously, I mean, that is, and then I had a Russian scout that used to come over from Russia, and all he'd bring was his fanny pack. And then he'd leave with a flight bag because he'd take so much from our, you know, from the team that he'd have a full suitcase going back, including some money in it. So, you know, I hope the dress code isn't going to be a big deal. I hope it isn't. I think the guys, you know, I hope the guys have, you know, they're a pretty classy group.
What would you say to your coaches that didn't want to dress down if you were the manager?
Well, you can't say anything to them because Tortorella's already taken that off the table with his sweatsuit look. Or he looked like John Guy Talbot on the bench now. You know, remember John Guy started that?
I was there that night when he wore the tracksuit behind the bench for the Rangers.
What year was that?
77 or 78. He wore
was
the
tracksuit.
Yeah, the tracksuit behind the bench at Maple Leaf Gardens, and everybody was agog with how dare he do this.
What about me in Florida with my suit, and I had the Starter. Remember, Starter was the company, and they paid me I did a promo for Starter, and I was doing some work for them, and they gave me a Starter pin and asked me to wear it on my suit lapel. You know, league wouldn't allow it. I said, oh, my God, we got problems. So I had to take the Starter button off my lapel during the games, you know.
That probably cost you 50 grand or something. So,
what would you have got for that?
Maybe closer to 5 grand and a free bunch of shorts and T-shirts.
But the dress code will bother some people.
It'll bother some people.
Aside.
Yeah.
It might bother some of the players, too.
Yeah. I hope it's going to be a non-factor. You know, Jesus, when I saw that cat up on the wall, I said, is that Newman up on mine? But no, it's in your house.
that's Gary the cat.
Okay. Between them. Now, does he affect your birds outside or no?
Oh, no. He doesn't. The cat doesn't go outside.
Oh, okay.
You like my birds, don't you?
I find that is the weird one of the weird. I know you pretty well, and I find that's pretty weird. I find you're a bit of a weirdo when I saw that, you know.
So John's got a
Instagram
live cam of his bird feeder.
I know.
A friend of mine has one here, but it's on an osprey net.
Well, that's cool.
You know, an osprey, and he's got it right on there, you know, on the telephone pole. Yeah. And watching what the osprey does. That I find that interesting. I find your birds boring as hell. That's all.
I get lots of compliments from people who are followers that think it's cool that all the different birds that live in the neighborhood come and visit and get fed.
Shanny,
you have to expand your horizons,
and,
Doug.
And I'm, you know what, and that's what Jill, I'm working
hasn't
on.
Hasn't Jill been telling you that for years?
That's what I'm working on in my 49th year of marriage. I'm expanding, and you know what, so I'm gonna re-look at the bird thing and see if I can appreciate it a little more.
I got a text the other day from somebody.
But right now, I think you're a bit of a loser because of it.
I got a text the other day from somebody at the NHL in New York saying that shot of the hummingbird was so cool. You know, I find a super slow-mo of a hummingbird feeding. That's fantastic. Come on now. You got to expand your horizons. Distraction away from, you know, listening to podcasts and talking hockey all the time, just being in the backyard. I don't get to float in the Northumberland Strait.
I know. And look, I'm going to try to have more of an appreciation for it. I do. But it makes me nervous that I've got a weirdo for a friend.
Hey, the next time I do it, I'm going to say this is for Doug McClain.
Can you guys make sense of what's happening with the Hughes boys? Because last year it was all about Quinn and Vancouver, and he was going to go play with his brothers. And now Luke is in limbo with the New Jersey Devils.
I was thinking of that this morning, and Tommy Fitz, you know, I had him as a player, and I've talked to Tommy recently, you know, about, you know, the new wave of GMs, and now then I read that and I look at, and we talked a little bit about it at the time, but it's all about now brothers being free at the same time, you know, it's the term of the contract, but it all comes back to what I talked about. It all comes back to the unrestricted free agent situation. Mm. That's what it comes back to. And, it's, I mean, the pressure on Vancouver and the pressure on Jersey right now is they're feeling it.
But this is the only time that Tom has an advantage, that the CBA allows him to have an advantage, at least for the short term, correct? For with Luke.
Yeah, unless Luke doesn't play, then you're down a guy. That's there goes your advantage.
If Luke doesn't play, there's something smelly.
But what the problem?
Where's he going? Where's he going to the KHL?
He can hold out.
I'm not suggesting
or not hold Luke, out, but not sign.
I'm not suggesting Luke is the biggest concern. I would think it's the other guy on New Jersey that's a bigger concern.
Yes. Why about Jack? Why do you say that?
Because trying to line up the contracts, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's lining up the contracts, and you know Vancouver are feeling the most pressure right now. But you know it'll be interesting to see where it all shakes out with the CAA Quinn pressure.
Yes, and the interesting part about it was like Vancouver was they were devastated. The fan base there was just aghast at what the potential was, and New Jersey sitting back in a catbird seat, and that doesn't look very comfortable right now either.
But Jack can't be a free agent until 2030.
Yeah.
So I mean, even though his contract will expire after this season, still have control of him for a bit.
Yeah, for a bit. You know, but having control for a bit and no control at 7 years is massive pressure as gets his peak.
Your point
of his
about
career.
The unrestricted free agencies, one, is fair, but I mean,
right.
If you look back at 2005, the cap at, what was it, 37 and a half? Is that what it was, or something like that? 39?
39 and a half was the first
39
year.
39 and a half. I mean, that saved a lot of franchises.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Look, I mean, with the values of franchises, I guess you're not worried, but you're always worried about your franchise if you've got a franchise player who is contemplating walking away. It's big time pressure. And every team in the league is going to face it. Every team is going to face it. So.
Who do you like more, Montreal or Ottawa?
That's a great question. I was thinking about that last night because I think Steos had a good summer. And you know what? I've got to give Kent Hughes big time credit. And, you know, they've methodically done a good job there. I mean, getting the Russian kid where they did in the draft was a lucky break, but a good break. He looks like he's got a chance to be terrific. Suzuki, who they picked up from your team, is looking like a terrific deal for them at this particular point. There seems to be a really good vibe around Montreal.
Noah Dobson as well, right? Noah Dobson signing there.
Yeah, that's a real interesting one at $9.5 million. There was always something awry with Noah on the island. There was something that was bothering the Islanders for some reason. I mean, we know Noah's a great offensive defenseman. He's got the big shot from the point. He's a great kid. He's a terrific kid. Darren, you know him probably better than I do, but I just know him to say hello. Good pickup. I just think Montreal have positioned themselves. The cap management has been real good. I like Montreal's upside and I like Ottawa's upside, but can both of them get in the playoffs again? Mm-hmm. Can Ottawa get in the playoffs? And, you know, who's going to get in is what one of the most intriguing things for me in that whole conference is Montreal, Ottawa, Columbus, Detroit. Phil, who's getting in? Getting in and how
you forgot
many?
You forgot Buffalo. You forgot Buffalo.
Well, I forgot Buffalo. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did you forget Buffalo?
No, I didn't forget Buffalo. But I just, you know, who knows? I mean, they have got to be better. But it, to me, that's one of the most intriguing things. And I keep looking at Detroit with Stevie Y and the Iser plan there. And I think that better hit soon. This is 9 years out of the playoffs for the Detroit Red Wings. Who could ever believe that? I talked to Jimmy D a month ago, and he said it to me. And he said, Doug, it's really hard for me to say this. 9 years. That's hard to believe, guys. 9 years out of the playoffs after 25 consecutive years in the playoffs. So
is the same pressure in Buffalo and Detroit now once you get to this level?
Well, what is it? One's 14 years and one. But you know what's amazing when you look back and you look at how many years Edmonton went without making the playoffs, how many years the Rangers went without making the playoffs, how many years the Panthers went without making the playoffs. It's scary when you look at those, the term that those teams missed for. The Panthers, mm-hmm. Who would believe it? You know, I mean, the New York Rangers, how many years in a row did they miss the playoffs? I've got it written down somewhere because I'm going to use it somewhere. But it's unbelievable when you look at the term, you know. The Blue Jackets have been 5 years out of the playoffs now, you know. The pressure on these franchises to get in, we saw what it did for Ottawa getting in last year. I mean, look at their ticket sales this year. Look at their corporate sales. Look at their suite sales. It all comes from that, you know. So I think it's a ton of pressure.
Do you guys want to make up?
I like Montreal, by the way. I think Montreal looks really good, and I think Ottawa look really good. And I'm a little worried about Detroit.
I'm used to this from him now about the Birds. Don't worry about it.
He called you a weirdo.
You know what?
Hey. Danny and I have bonded since we go to the Danny Galvin golf outing every year. I think we've become tighter because of that, you know.
Yeah, figure, huh?
The animosity's disappeared. It seems like we're on a better footing now. Would you say, Shannon?
I do, and I'm just going to say thank God for Mike Roberts. So,
Mike Roberts has saved our relationship.
That's right.
Yeah.
Doug, you harass John and the Danny Galvin. That's what you do.
Oh, that's great.
Mike Roberts bothers me, though, because every time I play golf with him, he says golf terminology to me about my swing, and I have no clue what he's talking about, you know?
I thought Ian Leggett fixed your golf problem.
Ian Leggett set me back a year playing with him.
People right now are Googling Mike Roberts because they hear Ian Leggett and Danny Galvin and all these names, and they're like, who's Mike Roberts?
He's not related to Gordy Roberts from Minnesota.
or Jimmy Roberts
from South.
Mike is your neighbor on PEI.
Jimmy Roberts the other day in an interview, and I had chills thinking about watching Jimmy Roberts playing Montreal and St. Louis in the old days. Anyway, getting off topic. I was going to mention Sonda, but I'm going to stay away from that.
That's a good idea.
What are you most excited about the hockey season?
What am I most excited about?
I can't believe we've gone this far without talking about the Olympics.
That's what I'm most excited about. I was on a walking tour last fall in Italy, okay? And we did Tuscany, and we did another area, I can't think, Umbria or something, someplace like that. And we had this guide who was going to be working at the Olympics, doing guide tours. And he said to me, you know, I hear you're a hockey guy. Is there any way you could, you know, we could work out a deal, you and I, to do, you know, around the Olympics in hockey? And I thought, can I just come over and drink wine? I really don't want to talk about hockey, you know. But anyway, he was all excited.
He wanted you to help him with his walking tour?
Well, I would help. We would work together on organizing tours to go to the Olympics, you know, and you could tie it into wine country and all the different things.
And Doug could do hockey seminars on, you know, history of hockey at the Olympics by Doug.
Yeah, exactly.
Doug's new book.
I was there in 2002 in Salt Lake, and I was there in Vancouver. As you guys know, I worked the Vancouver.
Oh, you were overworked in Vancouver.
I had that 3-minute hit to do every lunch hour. I went to check out of my hotel and my bar bill was $1,700. I remember that. Anyway, it was one of the better assignments I've had.
So you're not signing back up for Milan Cortina?
No, but you know what? I am extremely excited about watching the Olympic hockey this year. I really am. Canada, U.S., I think it's going to, after the Four Nations, I think it's going to be just unbelievable hockey. And I couldn't tell you who's going to win or who's going to be the better team. I think it's, you know, it's amazing.
Well, until then, you can watch Shanny's birds.
Yeah.
I'll send you some new bird stuff. Don't worry, Doug.
I'm getting a call from Montreal. The only people that ever call me from Montreal is when the Pension Society returns my call when a team doesn't make my pension pay. They forget me sometimes on that monthly pension check, you know?
Okay, go deal with it. Good to see you, buddy. Say hi to Jill.
Guys, thanks a lot for having me on. It's been a really busy time for me with my anniversary and stuff, but I really appreciate you having me on. It's been great. And it's great to see you, Darren. You know, I haven't seen you in 3 weeks. And Shanny, it's always great to hear from you. Thanks, guys.
Can you go check on my cottage?
What a bunch of bullshit. Oh, my God.
Okay, the bird camera.
Yeah.
Doug called you a weirdo. You've got a camera set up on your bird feeder.
Yeah.
And how public is this?
Well, I posted on Instagram because my Instagram account is not for hockey. I have made I have certain rules for certain social media platforms, and basically I post stuff on my Instagram account for my pets and my backyard.
You get on people for posting food pictures out at restaurants and then you're doing this bird thing?
No, but I state it, and so that if you don't like following, if you don't want to see nature and pets, then don't follow me. Don't. Just don't follow me on Instagram.
But there's no hockey on Instagram.
Never. There is never any hockey. It's like the rules I've set in place for how many people I follow on X. I only follow 99 people. I don't follow 100. I don't follow 98. I follow 99 people on X.
How much does that change during the course of a year?
Does
you swap people in and out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every once in a while.
You do?
Yeah, I do. But then I have to consciously go through my list and say, do I need anything from the, and you know, I follow all the clubs. They don't all follow me, but I follow all the clubs. Then I decide at a certain time of year, is it a good time to follow the International Ice Hockey Federation when we get around the World Juniors or we get around the World Championships? So that means I have to get rid of a writer or get rid of somebody who I think is kind of cool to follow.
Do you let them know?
No.
You are hereby
no.
bumped from my list?
No. I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
We should do that. We should publicly, when you alter your list of following on X, we should state that here on 100% Hockey.
I think that's crazier than anything that Doug McLean just said to us on this show. And by the way, he said some crazy things on this show.
So. He's still talking.
I know. He's actually in the waiting room thinking that we're going to invite him back on. And by the way, we are not inviting him back on. Not for a while. We're going to wait until he gets down to Florida and then he can rub it in that he's, you know, it's snowing in Toronto and hotter than heck in Vegas and he's sitting on the beach in Delray.
I like what he said about Leopold, that when the owner comes out with something like that, it's an easy negotiation for the general manager. And I was thinking, boy, it puts pressure on the general manager to get this done. And instead, it's the exact opposite.
Well, it still puts pressure on Billy Guerin to get the deal done. Because, you know, there are, you know, the wallet's wide open, but, you know, and I'm not suggesting this, but if a player decides that he doesn't in the end want to play there, then that puts the pressure on Guerin to get something done. And the owner will be saying, Billy, we're giving him all the money he wants. Why isn't he signing?
Yeah.
Then it goes back to more and more with the high end guys. It doesn't go back to the amount. The amount is enough for everybody. It goes back to term. How long will you sign for? Right? How long?
I'm taking term all day long.
Yeah, but you're an old-fashioned prairie boy hockey player. That's what you are. But I think it's changing in hockey to what we see in other sports. Guys taking and gambling on themselves in the short term, not trying to avoid injury to make sure that, particularly with the cap going up so quickly in the next 3 years, Darren, I think we're going to see a lot more short-term deals.
Until somebody
gets hurt.
Has it go the wrong way.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it's worked in the NBA, Darren. It has worked in the NBA.
I would also take deferred money, too. Can't do that anymore, though.
No. Well, after September 15th next year, there's lots more rules under the contracts that players can't do. So that's why it's incumbent to get the deals done.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the relaxed dress code on 100% hockey.
Just make sure you wear a shirt, okay?
Can you imagine me showing up tarp off?
Do not go there, Ron.
Thanks to you, McLarty. And if you like it, if you enjoy it, make sure you share it on social media, whether you're talking hockey or not. Just post a little forward.
Birds.
And we'd love to hear a rating from you. Send us a note on your favorite podcast platform. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.